Hi, this is Ben Trefney, news director at KALW. We're in a membership drive right now. You can support what we do. More than 70% of our funding comes from listeners like you. Please go to donate at kalw.org, click it, and keep these stories coming. Thank you.
KALW.
Today is September 11th, the anniversary of a day that changed the world. The U.S. invaded Afghanistan, beginning its longest war ever. Anti-Muslim sentiment rose here in the States, and it's still a problem. Hate crimes have risen the last 2 years. Say you're sitting on a train, and the guy next to you starts verbally attacking the woman next to him with racial slurs, or homophobic, or anti-Semitic, or Islamophobic slurs. What do you do? Do you say something? Do you physically intervene? How? Bystander intervention training teaches people how to react and what to do when they witness some kind of harassment or attack. I recently attended a training at the Muslim Community Center in Pleasanton.
Are you ready?
So attacking side, are you ready?
Yeah. Ready, set, attack!
In a carpeted banquet hall, trainers Zoha Reza and Andrew Schutz give the go-ahead to about 30 mostly white people standing in two lines facing each other. It's called a hassle line. They partner up. One pretends to be a harasser, and the other a target of the harassment. No bystanders here yet. Participants Kate Wiley and Marion Conning are teamed up. Marion's supposed to keep her cool while Kate verbally harasses her. You can tell it's clearly not in Kate's nature to be an aggressor. It's awkward to try to be mean.
And making bad decisions. How could you do that?
Now they switch. It's Marion's turn to attack.
I've known some stupid people, and this is a stupid idea.
Okay, Marion does a better job. Kate is quiet. And scene. I ask Marion, what was that like for you?
She just was looking right past me and not paying any attention.
How did that make you feel?
Don't you know pay attention. I'm attacking you.
This is the first lesson. Take away power from your harasser by staying calm, which is hard for some people, like participant Martha Krieger.
Because I'm so confrontational. So it's actually a real exercise to look away.
And while all this is fake, it reflects a very real and troubling reality. Hate crimes in California have increased just over the last year. The state is now home to 79 hate groups, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center, the highest in the country. And according to the Council on American Islamic Relations, who's putting on this training today, anti-Muslim attacks nationwide increased by nearly 60% between 2015 and 2016.
Since the election happened, it has been very terrible for me and for many communities around me.
Trainer Zoha Reza is herself a target. She's visibly Muslim because she wears a headscarf. And she says it's a necessity for everyone to know what to do in these times.
This is something we're trying to push. We're trying to push for sticking up for each other. Even though times may be bad, we want to create a very connected community.
Reza goes back to the trainees for the next exercise.
We can go ahead and talk about the first scenario.
This one teaches that if you're witnessing a verbal attack, ignore the aggressor and go up to the targeted person and talk to them. The trainees are broken into small groups and given scenarios to act out, like a man harassing a Muslim woman on a train.
Hey, come on. That's un-American. Get that scarf off.
Or a racist car driver harassing someone on the street.
Honk, honk, you don't belong here. You should get out of here. Throwing trash.
Or an impatient anti-immigrant person standing in line in a shop.
Maybe if you'd speak English, it wouldn't take this long. Hello?
The bystanders start talking to the targeted person as instructed, some moving closer, saying things like, "That's a beautiful scarf. Where'd you get it?" Or just a straight up, "Are you okay?"
Is it okay if I stand right in front of you for a minute?
Zoha Reza nods approvingly, but she cautions, always ask for permission.
We're not there to be their savior. We're there to be in solidarity with them. She or he might just want to ignore completely, not talk to anybody. So, but we always want to give them the option to talk to someone. And that's our role. Going to them, being like, can I stay here? Even if they're like, oh, I don't want to talk to you. Be like, okay, I'm just going to monitor the situation. I'm going to stay here. If you want to talk to me, I'm right here.
And she makes one thing clear. Safety first. Always.
If the situation is dangerous, get out of there.
And that's one big reason many witnesses to hate crimes may choose not to act. They're afraid they'll be hurt. Just earlier this year, two men were stabbed when they intervened to help a Muslim woman on a train in Oregon. There's also what psychologists call the bystander effect, that people think, oh, someone else will do it. And sometimes it's more complicated, according to Jane Stapleton, a researcher at the University of New Hampshire.
And then there's a lot of, you know, like cultural and environmental factors.
Stapleton's part of the team that created one of the country's most used bystander training programs called Bringing in the Bystander. She explains how complex these situations can sometimes be.
For example, if, you know, you're an African-American male and you see something happening and you're in a predominantly white area, or you're in an area where maybe, you know, members of your family or your social group or your community have had negative interactions with law enforcement, are you likely to pick up, you know, are you likely to take out your cell phone and call 911 and say, you know, so your own experiences can, you know, really influence whether or not you intervene. And we always say that there are reasons why people don't intervene.
So she says bystander training can help people be more conscious if they end up being witnesses to harassment or other crimes. But some critics say this kind of training puts more burden on the bystander than the perpetrator, resulting in a kind of bystander blaming if things go wrong, one step away from victim blaming. Jane Stapleton.
Well, I can't. I just disagree with that. I mean, I really think that bystander intervention is about engaging the entire community, and that doesn't take perpetrators off the hook.
Critics also say putting the responsibility on the bystander takes the conversation away from big picture institutional discussions about safety, police, and the justice system, and what role they've played or failed to play in regards to hate crimes. Stapleton acknowledges the need to address all that and adds,
I think bystander intervention is very much a social justice framework as well. I don't see that bystander intervention is an abdication of these larger systemic issues at all.
Back at the training, trainee Amy Leona says she doesn't feel a burden. She feels a responsibility. To her, it's also about
being white, being upper middle class. I do have quite a lot of privilege, so I know that I can use my privilege in a lot of these situations to help people out who are not able to stand up in certain ways and be listened to.
Okay, let's check in one last time with one of the groups. Remember this group where a man is pretending to harass a Muslim woman on a train?
Hey, you guys, don't you think she should take that scarf off?
Let's see how that went.
What's really uncomfortable is if you're the attacker and nobody else supports you. That really works. That feels bad.
Ignoring him seems to have worked. Mission accomplished. While everyone here wishes they won't need what they learned today, they'll be ready on the day they do. Trainer Zohareza leaves them with one final thought. Beyond all the specifics of the training today, the important thing to remember is empathy.
Imagine yourself in that situation. Put yourself in the position of the targeted person and, you know, it'll come to you. It'll come to you to go help them.